Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Alexia Anastasio, our guest, is an actress, filmmaker, and dream funding coach. Her work on the feature documentaries includes editor of Vampira, the movie, associate producer of The Wild World of Ted V. Michaels, director of Adventures in Plimtunes, and Ginger Girls, The Secret Lives of Redheads, also a narrative feature, Little Fishes. And she teaches an online class entitled Dream Funding and has used crowdfunding to raise money and bring awareness of her films for everyone who is interested. And now I'd like to also ask you, Carol, you met Alexia when you were both speakers for Bloomberg Financing Seminar, right?
Absolutely. They interviewed her, and it must have been an hour that the panel gave her, and it was well-deserved because the information she had was so compelling, so fresh, and important that we were all sitting there in awe that this young woman went out, beat the bushes, found her audience, and raised all this money. And so thank you very much for coming today and sharing your information with us, Alexia.
Well, thank you, Carol and Claire. Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful to be here. So thank you for that.
Well, let's get started with your background. I know you crowdfunded The Adventures in Plimtunes, Little Fishes, and Ginger Girls. So I thought we should take one at a time, and let's start with Little Fishes and discuss what the subject matter of this film is and how you found your audience to support you during the funding.
Sure. Well, Little Fishes was my most recent project. It's a lesbian art film. So it's done with a very European style. It's about three girls who come together after being apart for about 10 years. They were friends in school, and they have all sorts of relationship drama, and it's very much about how you're still growing, you know, even in your late 20s, early 30s, and still a lot of inner work that needs to be done before you really mature and, you know, go on into the world.
So did you then connect with gay and lesbian organizations or join those places, or how did you find your audience?
Yeah, actually, no. We haven't really done that yet. We're planning on doing that with bringing it to cinemas and getting it out there. What I did to find this audience is, first, I tapped into my existing audience. My email list is one. And my social media network, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then also I reached out to film podcasts and blogs, and I offered to do a guest blog. And so I spoke on different with different people, and then I also wrote these guest blogs where I would explain kind of how what I've done to for success, like every day, my daily rituals, some of the things that I did on set, including like the costumes, to the casting, to bringing everything together. And as this is like a micro-budget film, we really had to be creative in all aspects.
Okay, so you took the time to write film blogs for other people.
Yes.
And that drove people to your website so you could capture their name and email addresses, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the main thing here was to build your audience so that you could raise money through your audience and also have them for purchasing the download or the DVD, right?
Exactly, yeah. And another way that I really found my audience, and I have been finding them over the years, is going to conventions. I've been going to San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Fan Expo in Toronto, even horror conventions, and selling my short films and my other feature films, and also capturing their names there. So if somebody buys one of my short films, then I get their email, and then I continue emailing them what I'm up to.
Well, now, that's expensive to go to fly to New York and go to a convention and pay all the expenses. Does it pay off?
Yes. It does. Since I'm selling things, the DVDs, maybe T-shirts, prints, things like that, at the conventions, it pays for itself. So it has put the money back into another marketing effort, and it really pays off, especially when you're doing a crowdfunding campaign.
Because you now have all those additional names and exposure, right?
Exactly.
Well, do you pay for a booth or share a booth, or how does that work?
Yes, I either pay for a booth or I share a booth. I've done both.
And people are interested in your films. How do you market the films at the conventions? Because you're up against such heavy hitters there.
You are, but I always take it one person at a time. I'm very personal with each person I meet. So I'm not only telling them like what I'm offering, I'm asking for something from them. Like, so I ask them, you know, something about them. I love to ask people, what do they do for fun? That's my go-to question.
What do you do for fun? Oh, my God, that's a great question. And what kind of answers do you get?
Oh, all sorts of things, you know, from, you know, this, like going to conventions, to surfing, to watching horror films, to all sorts of things. Yeah.
But this opens them up to be a more engaged with you, correct?
Yes, exactly. And then they also know that I'm just in it to make a friend, because that's all really promotion is making friends, and that's how I've learned how to do promotion for my films is like you're gaining friends, so you're not just giving a flyer to somebody, you know, you're making a new friend.
You are one of the few people that really understand that, because when you read the entire book of Contagious, the most important thing you will walk away from is that the best marketing in the world is still person to person.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Well done. So that must have been a leap of faith for you to spend the money to go to those conventions in the beginning when you didn't have a lot of product. But you did it.
Yeah. I was lucky because since I was the editor of Vampire the Movie, I was promoting that project, and I brought along my smaller movies, my short films. So I started with one. It was Church for Sale. And then I spent about $100 on that budget for a 10-minute film. And I sold about 500 copies for $10. And then I did that with my second short film, which was Salome, which was about a $500 budget. and I did the same thing, but each one of those short films, I was building my list. So then when I did my feature film, which took a lot longer, you know, it was a bigger budget. It was about $50,000, you know, and I didn't count my salary or anything. I didn't take one. It was my own production, Adventures in Plimtoons. It took about 2.5 years to make. So I really had to promote that at the convention and sell T-shirts to keep up the marketing machines, like, going and still make the movie at the same time.
Well, did you go to the animator conventions for that film?
I went to comic book conventions, yes.
Ah, okay. Well, let me go back for a minute. So your first film, your budget was $100, and you sold 5,000 copies?
No,
how on earth did you do that?
500 copies. Yeah.
500 copies, right. So you made $5,000 is the point.
Yeah.
I just put back into
promotion, going to more conventions.
Right. And that kept building your list. Well, how would you share with us how many names you have on your list?
I have actually now just under 3,000 people on my list of really, really heartwarming fans.
And what percentage of them donate when you make an act?
Yeah, so each one is different. Of the last, for Little Fishes, I had about 150 backers. And for Ginger Girls, I had, I believe, like 188. And I think for Adventures in Plimtoons, I had 88. I started with 88 for the first one. Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Well, then now you went to Cannes. You did this year and last year, right?
No, I went this year, and then last time I was there was 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, I know that you told me that your mother got you a good reservation with a good price because she speaks French, which is fabulous. And you had to walk a little ways to get there. How was that hotel, and how was your trip? Tell us.
Oh, yeah. The hotel was fine, and the trip was great. The best part, I mean, there's lots of really great parts about it, but I loved I was going as a feature filmmaker with, you know, lots of features under my belt have produced. I was able to apply for the Producers Network, and that's a program where in the mornings you get together and you get to pick tables with industry professionals at, and you get access to these people that normally it'd get hard to get in the door. So you get to ask them all sorts of questions. So there are people from sales agents to big producers to casting directors to, like, the head of an animation, the biggest animation festival in the world, Annecy's, but their market, or the one of the big documentary festivals. So that was every morning. So every morning at, like, 8:30, I get in line just so we get the table we wanted. So that was great. That was amazing, being part of that. And then everybody else on the table are also producers, just like me, from all over the world. So not only am I getting access to all these interesting people, but also everybody else at the table is just amazing and has such energy. So there was really some really, really great people that I got to meet there. Also, I got to show my film in the market because of crowdfunding. And then I also got a sales rep that was representing my film in the market, Hamad Zaidi of Lonely Seal Releasing. So that was a pretty big deal as well. So I had, and then my last film, Adventures in Plimtoons, was also represented by Cinema Libre in the market. And then on top of that, I find out that Bill Plimpton's also going to be there, my subject of my last film, because he did a part of the animation in Selma Hayek movie, The Prophet. So things just came together and just like they always do, they always work out.
Oh, that's a great attitude. Well, all right. This is wonderful. So would you like to share one special thing that happened at your morning table? Was there anybody in particular we might know or that you felt was special that you got to spend time with?
There were so many people. Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, some people, one person who was the guest at the table was a French distributor that they were talking specifically about niche films, and it was specifically, the type of genre that I work in, and it was just amazing to hear from him, all the thing that goes into what type of movies that he picks and his company picks that he works for and things like that. And a lot of the people, how they're interested in co-production, things like that. And then at the end of the hour meeting, he just said, "Oh, and by the way, we have a couple of people on our team is going to see your film." And I'm like, my jaw dropped. I'm like, really? That was pretty exciting.
Oh, yes. So you would definitely go back. You would recommend to independent filmmakers, save your money and go, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And really, I'd recommend for them to put it on their awareness list first. For me, I told myself, I think last November, I put it on my list, I'm going to be showing my film in Cannes. And this was even before I even shot. I didn't even shoot the trailer yet, I think it was. And I put it on the list, and it just happened.
Wait.
I mean, after consistent action, of course.
Had to make some actions to make it happen, but this is really good. Well, no,
every day.
Setting your goals and intention is what we work with in my classes. Intentional filmmaking, I totally agree. You get it when you intend it, right? Well, this is, now tell us about this Hamas Baby releasing company. Who are they and why did you just...
Lonely Seal Releasing. I love Hamad. He is awesome. I really like him because of his positive attitude. Because another one of the days of the Producers Network, there was another sales agent talking about like what he does and how he picks his films, and he said something about how he always tells the filmmakers don't expect anything, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, that's not why we make films, not to expect anything, right?
Right.
So, but Hamad is very positive, and he's always like, I don't want to get your hopes up, but I'm like, okay. So I met him actually at the Berlin Alley Film Festival about 3 years ago, and I've been, keeping up with him, telling him, like, what I've been doing, and this is the exact perfect project for us to finally, work together on. So I'm very glad that he was my rep. He really understood the content, and you really need to be on the same page with your sales rep. He really gave me VIP attention. Like, he put my poster up, he put my poster in a Variety ad, all of that. So it was really nice.
That's exactly what you want, a close relationship. Well, let me ask you, going to these, I understand going to conventions and working a booth, because I had a sales company for 33 years, and I did that, and people come to you and you get to talk to them. But when you go out into a large crowded room, how do you introduce yourself? What do you do to open up, a conversation? Do you walk up and say, "Hi, I'm Alexia, and I'm from L.A., and I'm here with my film," or how do you do that?
Kind of. I have a schedule, so especially this time, I was very particular about what events I went to, and I really spent time at one of the pavilions there, which was called the Next Pavilion, and they had a lot of kind of speed dating type of workshops where you would talk to one company and then you'd go to the next company for like the next 15, 20 minutes. And then also they had a lot of meetups at the dock corner, which is new, which was great because I'm networking with other filmmakers that are making films for a reason, you know, like a bigger reason. I very much felt like I was in the right place. And anybody who I've met, I'm like, oh, of course I'm on the same page as you, you know. I'm in the doc film corner, you know, or I'm in the next pavilion, or I'm at the producers network.
Right.
Yeah.
You had some common ground to work from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds so exciting. What a great life. Okay, well, so let's talk more. You said you were making a film called about redheads. What is that about, and where is your audience, and how are you funding that?
Yeah. And also through crowdfunding, and I've actually started to submit for a couple of grants. I'm finishing funds grants. And it's a documentary. It's about girls with natural red hair, and specifically looking at women who use it as a positive light in their life, and showcasing that. And I'm really excited about that because it's not just a film, it's also a photo book and an art show. So I've photographed over 250 women so far. And because of my crowdfunding efforts, I've not only, you know, started to raise money for the project, but I've also got a lot of attention for the project. So we have over 2,000 people on our Facebook group already. When I post something, you know, more than that, people see it and share it and comment on it and like it. And I got attention from this guy, Rusty, who was doing an event in Portland, Oregon, last summer. It was a ginger gathering. And he's like, I really want you to be here. And I'm like, okay. And then he recommended me to CBS Sunday Morning. And then so I'm like, oh, now I have to go. And so I made it happen. I made it, you know, I went up to Portland. I was part of it. They interviewed me. And then I made the cut, and that's part of the segment. And then I got national press, and I'm still finishing the movie this summer. But already, like, there's the audience is actually already there waiting for either to be in it or to watch it.
Well done. And I love the fact that you see the expansion, the lateral natural expansion of the doc to the photo book and the art show, because sometimes the doc is simply the launching pad for other process, for other money and for other things to do. So watch the photo book will be published in conjunction with the film, or what's the distribution windows for the three of these things?
Yeah, basically I'm putting out into the universe, like you say, you know, and I have like a top company in mind, and I've been telling people, maybe I should say it on air, you know. I'm afraid. I love the company Tashin, and I would love, I don't even know anybody there, but I would love them to put out the book. So I've been putting things, my work together. I've also been putting, I've been thinking about, a literary agent that would be attached to the book, and then just doing the work, and just following up with the cast and setting up more photo shoots and telling more people, because that's how I really found the people to be in the book and the movie. It's like I tell more people and other people tell another person, and then suddenly I have a photo shoot with a dozen people at it. So
this is social currency. This is what Jonah Berger calls it in his book Contagious. There's nothing better than social currency. You tell someone something, they tell their friends, because to them, it's social currency. And then their friends love it, and it just goes like wildfire. Well done. But now let me tell you that I suggest that your daily mantra be, I love my publisher. I love my publisher for the photo book. What's the title that you've given it, even if it's a working title?
Well, for right now, it's the same title as the movie. So Ginger Girls.
Ginger Girls, how fabulous. Well, pretending you already have your publisher for Ginger Girls is a wonderful way to go because it puts you in the energy of completion. You've already found it. You love your publisher. She takes you to lunch. You have a good relationship. They promote your book, and you are happy as a clam that you found the right publisher. And this is one way to bring that energy to you.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay,
I love my publisher, Tashin.
yes, of course. Okay, let's start with tips on crowdfunding because I'm having so much fun listening to the way you live your life and you move every day in faith because you're not out there saying, okay, I have to make this kind of money today. You're out there meeting people, and through your faith and belief in yourself and your own art, you're able to survive, make a living, and do what you love, correct?
Yeah, I am. I'm very
amazing.
Happy.
Okay, so let's start with some tips on crowdfunding. And let's go with the page. I sometimes find that people put too many words on their page, not enough pictures, and sometimes you're advised that put some graphs on there and tell us how you want to spend the money. What has worked for you?
Well, I've graphics are always great. I'm a very graphic person. I love photography, and so. Make sure your page is filled with pictures, because even I, you know, some people, it's not about, like, they don't want to read the words. It's that they don't have time. And you only have, like, so much time with a campaign page, even if it's a friend. And, 'cause as a backer, I've backed, like, 65 projects on Kickstarter alone, and sometimes, like, I'm... you know, a minute 30 into the project video, and I'm like, I see that it's 4 minutes, and I'm like, you know what? I know I'm going to back this. I'm going to put in my $10 now, because I don't have time to watch the rest of the video, let alone even get to the words on the page. So I'll probably skim that, and then I'll really look at what level I want and why, you know. I'm like, oh, cool, a shout-out on Twitter. I want that. That sounds great. Done.
You like that, so, the shout-out on Twitter?
Oh, I love that.
Why?
Because it's the part of the connection, I think, part, where community and connection. So it's a conversation. So... you might not really even be connected to that person on Twitter yet. And it also says, like, oh, well, I'm, you know, their audience might be the same as my audience. So I'm like, I'm going to spend $10. I know it goes to a good person, and also get a shout-out at the same time. So,
do you search Kickstarter and Indiegogo for projects, or how do you find them?
I usually I get asked by people that I know, or I see projects that my other friends have backed, that I might see that they're interesting. I usually don't search for projects unless I'm, like, just, you know, on my page anyway, and I look at my little, especially on Kickstarter, the little pie, and I have only, like, 4 categories that I haven't backed to yet. Maybe I'm down to 3. But so I've never really backed a dance project or a game project or a fashion project yet. So I'm like, oh, maybe I should look for a fashion project. But then I'm like, there's nothing there at the time. So I'm like, I'll wait, you know, until something comes up. And usually something does.
Great. So you're on Kickstarter looking most of the – you pay attention to that.
I usually pay attention more of what's happening on Twitter and what my friends are doing than the Kickstarter page itself. So if everybody of my friends are talking about one campaign, then I'm like, oh, this came up a couple of times. Then I get to my attention, and then I'll look at the campaign.
Right. How many hours a day do you spend on social networking?
Oh, too many. I don't really know. At least an hour.
Oh, minimum. That's all. You
minimum. Yes.
You're posting for Ginger. And you're posting for Little Fishes, right? I mean, you're promoting various films on your various sites. Do you use Hootsuite or someplace where you go to put all your posts at once?
Yeah. I use the Facebook scheduling tool for Facebook and a pre-scheduling my posts. And for Twitter, I have a Ginger Girls Twitter, and I have Adventures in Plumtoons, but now I'm actually just focusing on my main Alexi Anastasio Twitter account, and I have Alexi Anastasio official Facebook page, but I think because I kind of batch it, and I'll just pre-schedule stuff, and then I'll engage. It doesn't seem like as much. I'm really spending more of my time on my actions, on my to-do list, than, you know, I'm not on Twitter for hours at a time engaging with people. I'm just there, you know, maybe 10 minutes just to see, okay, everything's good. I didn't get any mentions, you know, this person said that, maybe I'll reply, sort of thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about your to-do list. Does that come from the goals and intentions you've set for yourself?
Yeah. And I also I put like monthly goals together, so I'm focused on like one or two projects at a time. But I try to stick to. So one, and then also I bring on a team sometimes to help me, especially with when I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign. But also when I'm thinking about a new project, like I have an intern who's really awesome this summer, and she's helping me get organized and focus on my next project, which I'm in development on.
Okay, let's ask right now, how and where did you find your intern?
So I put up a posting on this website called barefootstudent.com, and I got some replies, but I also got a reply from somebody who has a company who does an internship program. So I had a call with her about what type of intern I needed and what different projects and tasks that would be at hand, and then she found me one intern that would be in the area and for the summer, and now I've been working with her and training her.
That is fabulous. Well, can you share that company with us?
The company I might have to send you, actually I'll find out towards later, but barefootstudent.com, I would say first just post on there that I have on the top of my head.
Okay, and it's student.
I've got many great, great interns from just posting on there. And you have to make sure you really talk about your company, what you're doing, your projects, and the tasks at hand. What are they going to learn from your internship?
Okay. All right, what are they going to learn? Who are you and why you need them and what's in it for them?
Yes. Great. I try to always give interns more than I get, and then it really works out.
It's all an exchange of information. There's no money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Sometimes I do actually give bonuses when people are working on a crowdfunding campaign. And I always think that is, like, at least give them a stipend. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Coming from a sales background, I know that special incentive bonuses work. Salespeople are good, and they'll do what they have to do. When you put out those bonuses, they go 2 miles beyond their distance to help you.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get to a really important part of crowdfunding, as far as I'm concerned, and that is, how do you choose the money that you want to raise? You've got to know you can meet that goal. You set a dollar amount that you feel you can achieve. Is that how you do it? Tell us.
Yeah, basically, I pick an amount that I think I'm going to – it starts with what's the minimum that I'll really need to first make this worth it. It's 30 days of my time. Because it's not just about the money, it's also about the marketing and getting the word out there, because you don't know where the money is really going to come from. Part of it will come from crowdfunding, but other things, they're going to come from all ways, and you don't need to decide that. So what's the minimum amount that that I basically need to, like, make this go over this next hump? For the next 30 days.
Okay, so you
in stride.
And then
you
compare that to your list, in other words, your 3,000 names, and find that maybe what you're asking would mean a very large donation from most of your people, and how do you make it work? Because I just see sometimes people will say, well, I need 50,000. And how many names do you have? I have 3,000 names. And so, and you're running a campaign for 30 days, and those 3,000 people, have they ever given to you before? No, but they're friends of mine, and they've promised to send it to other people, etc. And then these people usually come back with maybe $7,000 or $8,000, and they're shocked that they didn't reach their goal, and yet, in my opinion, they didn't have the database. So what do you think is reality?
I think the reality is how much work you're ready to put into it. So the list is the first step to figure out is this really possible. And then the second step is, are you willing to make the phone calls, to the people on that list? How personal are you willing to get? Because even somebody with a list of 100 people could get $10,000 if they're willing to call every single person on that list and get them 100% to donate.
You get phone numbers when you on your website, when you collect names, do you get their phone numbers?
I do not. I think that the phone numbers that you're calling are usually even warmer, calls. So my friends that I've made at conventions, which are on my list, but then I have, like, friends and family, and those are the people that you're calling. You're saying, okay, I'm having a birthday party, I'm having a launch party, can you come? Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while, let's have a Skype conversation. And then, let's chat. I've also booked Skype talks with my friends. And with the people on my list. So that also works.
And what do you say? Tell us how you discuss your ask.
Well, Basically, you want to talk more about them than about you. For me, it's a catch up. You know, like you're catching up with what's going on, and then you know you're going to talk about your project because that's your love, that's your baby. You're like, okay, I'm birthing this baby. You know, it's this movie, and so it's going to be the top of mind. And then somebody, they'll probably say, like, oh, yeah, I want to contribute to that. I'd love to help you out. And then if they haven't gotten to that point yet, you can always say, like, oh, could you give it $1? And it's best to ask for $1 because most people have $1. And then they can say, you know, actually, I was thinking about putting $10, or actually, I'm going to put in $100 or $200. You've really been at this some time, you know, 15 years, you've been making films, you really deserve this, and I feel part of it.
Wonderful. So you ask for the bare minimum, and they come back and give you more. Well done.
Yeah.
The secret seems to be that everybody has their comfort zone. In other words, I know when I sit down to write out a check to some of my favorite charities, I usually write the same amount. And
right.
So that's my comfort zone. And I think most of us have that. So the secret, they say, in raising money is to know what that person's comfort zone is, because if you ask above it, they won't donate. But if you ask, and if you ask below it, sometimes you lose money. But obviously, with you, they love what you're doing. You must stay in contact with your friends a lot in order for them to know who you are and what you're doing. So you're not only getting, you're getting their comfort zone. They're telling you what it is and giving you that, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, this is
And I'm bringing them a part of, kind of like onto the boat, you know, on for the ride sort of thing. So, you know, they can find out through not just my email list, but Facebook and Twitter and, you know, in person. So going to these conventions, it's not just about collecting the emails. It's also about staying in touch with them, you know, on a consistent basis.
And how do you do that?
Well, going to San Diego Comic-Con every year, I see the same people. So we're always excited about, you know, the next one.
Oh, how interesting. Well, do you have a newsletter or do you send people updates about your film?
I do. I just sent one out this morning, you know, about my screening tomorrow, and then I was going to be talking on this podcast right now.
Oh, good. All right. So you're constantly in touch with them. That is the key. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the gifts. What tips do you have for us on gifts to give? Something, can you just tell us how you choose them and normally what you pay for them?
Yeah, you want to make your gifts as personal as possible, and I feel like as custom as possible. And also, you want them to not cost you as much, because people giving don't want you to spend a lot of money on your gifts. So one of the things that I gave for the last campaign, for the Little Fishes campaign, was original artwork. And I would send people, and I'm still sending out the artwork, in a little card, you know. So with a thank you card, and I call them gratitude cards. And then I put in a little piece of artwork, and I send it along. So that's
so
one.
Each
project will have something that relates to the project. And also, don't forget about, you know, like lunches with, like experiences. That really doesn't cost you that much, and that's something you can put at a higher tier. And also, something that also doesn't cost you other than your time is Skype with people. So I've had Skype with people in Europe. You know, I can't meet them in person for lunch, but I can have a Skype with them. So.
And what do they talk about? What do they ask you about?
Oh, all sorts of things. It's just a beginning of a friendship. So All sorts of things. Usually they talk about, also I ask them about what they're doing, what they're up to. Sometimes they ask me about what we're talking about now, about crowdfunding. They have interesting project. They like to do the same thing, you know. So sometimes I'm giving advice, all sorts of things. Yeah, it's really a lot of fun, and it's another way of connecting with your fans.
Okay, so for gifts, you're talking about a piece of art, something you can send out, lunches with, Skype with, any other ideas?
If it's a film, you know, the streaming link doesn't cost you anything extra, the thank you and the credit. I always tell people, you know, some people put that at a high amount, and I'm like, why? It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to thank somebody, you know, like to put an extra name. It's not that much more time to put it on your credits. Most, you know, gazillion-dollar movies have credits,
Oh, you're so right. I helped Jenny's wedding in their crowdfunding. And so I got to see a screener last week. I went to the CAA building to see this gorgeous, in this great screening room, and saw their film. And just about ready to stand up, and wow, it was a thank you credit for me personally. And of course I was there when they were running the campaign, constantly at their beck and call, because I wanted to support them. But that thank you credit was like the biggest gift I could have gotten, much more important than money. It was a heartfelt appreciation from them to me, and it will be there forever. So I truly think that's a great gift.
Yeah, I agree. And as long as you have also the appreciation the whole way through, you know, people are going to be there for your next project. And I've had people, you know, come with me that I met, you know, 4 years ago when I started crowdfunding. And that's how I met them. And now I'm, you know, hanging out with them. We're going to the movies, you know, they're coming, you know, and we're doing conventions together. So it really is. Like, you, it's you and it's a dialogue, you know, between you and your fan. And you decide how much you want them involved.
Great. It's a dialogue. It's all about communication. Well, we're in the communication business. So you would think that would be a natural, but seldom does it happen. So I just commend you on your actions. It's beautiful. Okay, so we're getting back to the nitty-gritty. When you are running the campaign, how often do you send emails out to your fan base, and can you give us an idea of what you normally say in them?
Yeah, I send emails out once a week, and I usually, this is also very important, because you want to talk, when you're writing your copy for your emails, you want it to be also like you're talking to one person, not everybody. You never want to say, hey, you guys. You know, you're talking to one fan, and because one person on the other side is reading it. You know, even though you might have more than one person on your list, one person is reading it at a time. So you want to think about, you know, your ideal fan and write like you're just writing to that one pen pal and one person. So when I'm writing my letters and my emails, that's what I do. That's what I'm thinking about. And then it comes across more genuine, more heartfelt, more like I'm talking to them. And I think that's really important. And I think that's something people normally don't talk about. Because there's lots of newsletters that you get in your email box. I get lots of spam, and actually recently I've been cleaning it all out. So you don't want your email to be in the same, you know, spam box or unsubscribe box. You want it to be, this is the one that I'm actually going to put in my main folder, and I'm going to check every single time.
Well said. Thank you. That's a great tip. Now, the secret to all of this is do it with others. So how did you get people to refer or send your emails to people you don't know to help improve your donations?
I mean, by asking, by putting a little thing in your email. I put it in my emails or in when I post something on Facebook. I say, please share this. Please share this image. Please share this link. I'd really appreciate it. I put appreciation and gratitude in each one of my emails. That I feel like that's why people and my fans and friends and fans are willing to share the message. And that's why they keep coming back. They want to be in touch with me, but you have to make your fans feel special. If they're not special, why are they going to give? You know, why are they going to feel included? So
that's right. We've, you know, most filmmakers spend so much time, dedication working on their films that they just feel so alone and so overburdened with the amount of work that's required that they miss the fun side.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and that's why you can't do it alone. Really, filmmaking is not a practice that you can do alone. You can't. So as long as you tell your fans that, then they'll, you know, the best thing about them is that they listen.
Yes, and when you open your heart to bring them in to support you and continue to communicate with them, then you have the secrets to the universe, which is you're making the films for them and your audience is following you, and it's great. It's what it's all about. You're making it for them in the first place. Okay, now, one last question. I want to hear more about your dream classes, but one last question. What tips or what suggestions do you have when the campaign stalls? I've seen this where people open with a bang and then it drops dead for a few days and they all go into panic mode. What do you suggest to do at that time?
Well, I had the same problem when I did my first campaign, and it was back when Kickstarter, it was in 2010, and Kickstarter, I had an 88-day campaign, and I was literally at breaking plates. I was so upset. I didn't think I was going to make my goal. Even though I was above the 40% mark, I was trying to raise $10,000, and I just, like, broke down crying, you know, with an anxiety attack, and I had all of that. And then I took the afternoon off. And I spent time entering a music video contest where I dressed up in a cow, and I just had fun. And then I ended up winning that contest and winning $300. And then I thought, I'm like, oh, well, if I could win this award in one afternoon of, like, filming and editing, then I can make my goal. And how I'm going to do it is I'm going to have fun with it. So that's the part where taking a step back, taking a bath, you know, taking the weekend off and say, what was the fun? Why did I start this project in the first place? And then I brought that fun into my other videos. I did a whole bunch of fun updates that people really enjoyed and shared. And then that's when they gave. And so that's what I suggest at that time.
Bring the fun back into filmmaking.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to quote you on that. That's a great statement. Okay, well, now, tell us about your online class, about what you're teaching, and how people can find you, please.
Okay, great. Well, they can find me on my website, alexiaanastasio.com, or the Twitter or my Facebook page. But the best thing is to go to the website, and you can actually email me. I suggest people to email me if they're interested. And tell me a little bit about what they're doing. And then I'll send them a before you launch PDF for free. And then basically the class is an 8-week class. We go through orientation. We have 4 modules on the mindset, preparing for success, the confidence, the know-how, marketing and strategy, and then finishing up the campaign with a bang. And so,
oh, good.
One week is a module, and then another week is implementation week throughout the class, and we have group coaching throughout the class. So by the end of it, you're like so ready to succeed. There's no way you're going to be failing because you've been doing all the work and putting it all into practice. And then we also I have private sessions with everybody in the class. And it's all.
So when you say it's a module, you go online and you take an online course, and then you have private sessions with you.
Yeah. So we have private sessions, and I have weekly group sessions.
Group coaching sessions.
And
this
yeah.
is all dedicated to crowdfunding.
Exactly. I call it dream funding.
Dream funding. I love it. Okay. Now, spell your name for us so that we know exactly how
yeah.
to find your website.
Okay. It's AlexiaAnastasio.com.
Okay, that'll also be on the website, on the Blog Talk Show site. And also, I really personally want to thank you so much for your offer to be a sponsor for us in our Roy Dean Film Grant. I'm just honored to have your energy and your brilliance working through from the heart. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so happy that, you know, I'm able to be a part of it, you know, so... Yes, thank you.
Good. Well, we're both out there with the same thing. You nurture and support your friends and audience, and that's what we need to bring back to filmmaking, this nurturing, supporting, caring from all of us to all of us, because we're all in the same boat, as Lily Tomlin says, alone together.
Yes.
We are. So thank you. You just have enlightened us with so much important, detailed information, and you truly work from the heart. It's nice to know you.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay, so thank you very much, and please check out her website and her classes, and re-listen if you have to, but take notes, because this lady knows how to crowdfund and how to create your audience and have fun, bringing fun back to film. So thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on our show for more Art of Film Funding information next week.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. And, you know, Alexia, I also have to add the same sentiment that Carol said, the fun and the heart. Bringing the fun and the heart back to filmmaking, because that's what's behind every film that is made. So you really brought that and drove it home today. Thank you. Wonderful interview, Carol, both of you.
Okay, it was lots of fun. Take care.
Yeah. Take good care.
Bye. Thanks, Alexia.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.